Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be taking your calls and responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good, but you're hidden behind music that just won't go away.
There you go.
There.
Silence.
Lovely. I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm alive, and life is good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've just spent, you and I participated with a lot of other fun folks in a process called Your Best Year Yet on Saturday.
Yes.
And then I came up to the monastery where we've done three more days of that.
Wow.
And so I am just excited about life.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Best day after best day after best day.
Exactly. I don't know. Now, tomorrow I'm going to have to get up and actually start having my best year yet instead of, working on my plans for my best year yet.
Yes.
And, of course, people will say, you know, what does all of that have to do with Zen practice? And people would be surprised if they did the process because it's a lot... you know, our new book that's coming out in March is on compassionate self-discipline.
Yes.
And it's all that same kind of working on a moment-by-moment basis to take our lives out of the habits and hands of conditioned mind and bringing ourselves into the present where life actually happens. And so... anything, you know, I'm always supportive of anything that points our lives in that direction toward here. And
yes.
And this best year yet is just one of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
And so it's good. One of the things that we have through the Zen Center, as many people know, is daily peace quotes. And one of the daily peace quotes was from Francis of Assisi, and it was something along the lines of, the deeds you do today may be the only sermon people have.
Yes.
Something that communicated that. And so looking at how every moment of our lives can be an expression of our inherent goodness, or all that is, or that which is, and playing games, making it fun, finding ways to be inspired, so that every deed, every thought, every word, everything is bringing us back to here and expressing that in a way that really makes clear how sacred and beautiful and precious every moment of life is.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's inspiring.
Good time.
Yes. Yes. And it seems like with the practice that we do, it's looking for ways to inspire ourselves.
Yes. Because one of the big habits of conditioned mind is to take us out of the moment into something wrong, into lack and loss and deprivation and fear and past and future, and in those places of conditioning, life is not inspiring. Life is inspiring, but we're not present to life, so we don't have the benefit of the inspiration.
Yeah.
So having a constant focus, you know, this brings me back, this brings me back. I do this, I remember that, I say that, when I do this, I remember to be present. There are lots of those kinds of things in Buddhist practice and lots of them in Zen. When I was in the monastery where I trained, we had these little pieces of paper everywhere that reminded us. So as I fill my body with nourishment, so may I fill my heart and mind with forgiveness, love, and compassion.
Mm.
As I lay my body down to sleep, so may all beings lay down their burdens and find peace. You know, that kind of a reminder associated with every action throughout the day. It's good.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. And what's also great is that the phone lines are busy here.
Oh, very good. So in this moment, we get to talk to some of our favorite people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to welcome Catherine from St. Louis. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hi, Sherry.
How are you doing?
Okay. I'm doing well.
Good. What's going on this lovely January of 2007?
Well, I've been looking at death and my fear of it.
Uh-huh.
And some things have happened, some circumstances that have sort of triggered my wanting to look at this. And I'm finding that I've been watching the players and the thoughts, and I feel like I'm just getting sucked deeper and deeper into despair.
Mm.
I don't seem to be able to... I can come back to the breath and certainly and not think about it.
Uh-huh.
I can't seem to come to any... I think when I started looking at it, I was hoping to come to some kind of peace with the idea that I'm going to die sooner or later and being all right with that.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't gotten there. Instead, there just seems to be more and more self-hate coming up. Various things like, your life isn't very good. You aren't living, life will be over soon, and you aren't living yours right, that sort of thing.
Yeah, which we would expect.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Because that's what conditioning does. And what we wouldn't expect is for any sympathy or understanding or kindness. Clearly something has happened that makes you suspect that you're going to die sooner than you had planned or had thought.
Not so much as it's just being brought. A friend has died recently, and then an aunt, and I turned 60 a few weeks ago, and as far as I know, I'm not facing imminent death, but I'm just aware that I've just lived my life a lot in denial about. Of course, I knew I was going to die, but it just didn't seem like it was going to be anytime soon, so I didn't think about it.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, it still might not be. And
true.
I hope that you will still think about it in the sense of not only making peace with it, but no longer living your life as if you're going to live forever.
Right. Yes. And I have been, I remember that you're saying, when you're talking about this, that life is fleeting, don't postpone anything.
Mm-hmm.
And where I go with that, when I think about that, is just kind of into despair. I don't go into enjoying it.
How would that lead to despair?
There's a sense of urgency comes up, like, okay, you better enjoy it. So what do I do?
Now that's interesting. Okay, you better enjoy it. Boy, there's conditioning at its very finest, isn't it?
Yeah.
So of course, now the way I would approach that is okay. That's right. I'm a short timer. So I've lived my whole life as if I'm going to live forever. I've postponed my business partner has a bumper sticker that I'd love to have that says "Don't postpone joy."
Mm-hmm.
So most everybody postpones joy because, you know, there's plenty of time for joy, and right now the thing to do in life is suffer and be miserable and think about everything that's not working and, focus on the things I don't have and like that. That's what conditioning wants us to spend our life on. And then when we get to the point of, maybe I'm not going to live forever, then be depressed about the fact that we listened to it and did exactly what it said for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one of the other choices is, okay, I don't have, clearly, if you just had your 60th birthday, you have way less ahead of you, we guess, than you have behind you. So, good, then how do you want to spend this?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to live forever. Mm-hmm. So anything that you want to have in life, you better have it now. And it's not a question of, you should enjoy this, because that's a field day for conditioning. It's a matter of, okay, how do I want to do this then? Well, I've always wanted to travel. Well, then I better travel. I've wanted to, take lessons in oil painting. Okay, well, this would be the year. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is that's on that list, now would be a good time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not you should go on following the same choices that conditioned mind has allowed you for all of your life, and now you should enjoy it. That's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
If you could enjoy what conditioning has been putting you through, you would have already succeeded in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage you that now is the time to step out of its grip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Start choosing you. Okay? Because conditioning, we get conned into listening to the voices of conditioning because they're going to make life work. Isn't that
right.
true?
Right.
They're going to fix you, change you, point out what's wrong with you, point out what's wrong with everybody else. And this is leading towards some happy future, isn't it? If you would just be the person they say you should be, then you would be fine and you would have a happy life and everything would be great.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it hasn't worked.
Right.
Yeah? So maybe it would be good at this point to start following some different guidance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So if you you you've got this tour guide, and this tour guide is going to take you on a tour of the seven wonders of the world, and you haven't gotten out of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been 60 years. You want to start looking for another tour.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see what you mean. There seems to be all this, what's coming up is a lot of confusion and anxiety. Is that simply conditioning?
You better know it. Yeah. So here's my encouragement. Make a list of the, I wish you'd been here for Best Year Yet, because you'd have a whole plan for this, you see, and a whole way of doing it, but that's okay. We can work with that anyway. You can come next year.
Okay.
All right. You can put that on your plan that for this year that you'll be with us next year. All right.
Okay.
So you're going to come up with 10 things that you want to do before you die. Okay. And you can configure them any way you want. You could have 5 things that are, pretty simple and manageable and not that expensive, but you've just never done them. And then 5 things that are big, that would really be a stretch, that would, kind of challenge you to be able to pull this off. Now, we're not, we want it in the realm of possibility. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So things that now, it might be I want to travel around the world. And somebody would say, well, that's not within the realm of possibility. But it is.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to make choices. Perhaps you'd have to trade off this for that. But it is in the realm of possibility. So you want to look really hard at what you come up with. And then next week, give us a call with your list.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then we'll start through a plan for bringing those things to fruition.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Okay.
And, yeah. And this might be something that there are other people out there who are interested in doing as well. So those people could join in and listen along. And we'll just look at how to take life out of the hands of, isn't that a funny image, out of the hands of conditioned mind and bring it into conscious compassion and awareness and turn that very bad guidance about how life is and how you are and how it's not going to work and it never has. We're gonna get out of that program. We're gonna switch channels. We're gonna install new software.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have a different program, and start going in a different direction. Because now's the time.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Jerry.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Dawn in Los Angeles. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm glad you're back on the air.
Yes.
Been waiting.
Yes, we had quite a lovely retreat, and I understand World Talk Radio had one as well.
Yes, good. My question is going to be perfect coming off of that previous caller. I wanted to talk to you about money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit confused, and I go back and forth on it in terms of practice and living for now and whether or not I should be saving for retirement, saving for emergencies. I have quite a bit of money sitting in a retirement fund, and do I go cash that out and buy what I want? I'm struggling quite a bit, and I wonder if you have any opinion on that.
Oh, I have an opinion on everything.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell you a little story that I'm actually borrowing from Ram Dass. If you know who Ram Dass is, then you'll appreciate that. And if not, then you'll want to look up Ram Dass because he had a lot of things to say over the years. And my understanding is he's still saying some pretty amazing stuff. So here's the deal, because somebody asked him a similar question. And he said, all right, here it is. You wake up tomorrow morning, and it occurs to you that you need to see the dentist. And it occurs to you in the moment. It occurs to you now.
Uh-huh.
And so you pick up the phone, and you call the dentist's office. And in the moment, now, you make an appointment for 2 months in the future.
Okay.
And then, on that date, at that time, it will be now. It will be the moment. And so you will go to the dentist and have your appointment.
Okay. So my money, I have an appointment with my money for when I retire.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
And
that's what I wanted to hear. I was nervous.
Yeah. And so what you want to do with all of these things is to approach it in a way that is most compassionate to all.
Okay.
So there are people who live their entire lives saving every cent they can get their hands on for their old age, and they die before they get old.
Yes.
See, that's not a good plan. And then there are the people who are misunderstanding live for the moment.
Yeah.
And they're
I know lots of those. That's what worries me.
Yeah, and so they're just going through everything they can get their hands on.
Yes.
And then they get to the point where they want something big or they, in fact, did live long enough to get old, and they have nothing. So we're looking for the middle way, the way that is focused on it's like Well, it's like being a really good, loving parent. So you want to find the balance between providing for your child what is necessary and good, and it has an element of fun and happy now, and also guiding and directing that child. So you want to include things like getting enough sleep and doing homework and eating well and like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That sounds very practical.
Yes.
Okay.
Then is, if nothing else, practical.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's what I wanted to hear, because I've got, you know, I have a lot of the friends that you were saying, they misunderstand living for now,
mm-hmm.
and they want to, you know, run up credit card debt and do all kinds of financially irresponsible things.
Yeah, they're not actually living for today. They're living as if there is no tomorrow.
Yes.
And
okay.
and unfortunately, that now, as we were talking about, it seems way out there in the future, and suddenly it's now.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, that answers my question.
Good.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Dawn. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Drew from Chicago. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Drew.
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, well, I'm just really glad that I called in. I was wrestling with conditioning for about a half hour before I did, and the show's right where I'm at, so...
Oh, good.
Very glad. Mostly what I'm looking at right now is, I'm glad your book is coming out in March, Compassionate Self-Discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's kind of my big thing. I've had a pretty good year. I've had a... to quote another book, when you're falling, dive, I think is how it goes.
Yes.
Where I've just been saying yes to a lot of stuff and just going with it. So things are good, but there's this issue with compassion and self-discipline, which is huge. And it's kind of tied in, it seems to be tied in with a lot of anger and rage also. And what I see myself doing in the practice is sort of being identified with conditioning in my practice. So I'm, you know, it's sort of that the sense of. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. You know, when I'm sitting, it's almost like this rageful, angry person is sort of in charge of what I'm doing. And it really became clear. I adopted a second dog this past summer, a rescue dog, one rescue dog before, and they're kind of high maintenance, high energy dogs. And when I need to discipline them, it's like this other person, this conditioned person, takes over. And I feel so much rage, and I manage to control myself, but the energy is there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's this summer. It really became clear that that's what's happening in my practice too. It's sort of under the wire with me internally, but since I have these two critters to take care of, it's you know, sort of in my face.
And may I project onto your animal care?
Yes.
Okay, because very often when we have that kind of reaction to someone, let's say, two-legged or four-legged, it's because they are doing something or being a way that we do not allow ourselves to be. Does that
absolutely.
Fit
absolutely.
At all? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we could say that the part of you who would like to act the way they do, but is extremely controlled,
right.
Yeah. So that dynamic is being acted out with the critters.
Well, extremely controlled is right. Is how I feel. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then they are acting in an undisciplined, unruly fashion, and you are certainly never. Allowed that, and
right.
So the rage that follows.
Right.
Does that sound kind of like it?
Yeah, that's right on. And you know, when I'm doing the practice correctly, when I'm sitting when I should, when I'm, you know, eating right, you know, all the things that fall in line, you know, it's like I'm being a good boy, basically, or being a good person. But that it's like if anything gets out of line, it's never enough, of course. It's never, you know, I never get, it's never right, but at least I'm, you know, not getting, but I am getting beat up. I'm still getting
beat up. Oh, yes.
Still, you know, I'm still, and even if there aren't words, I'm still, there's still just this sense of, you know,
mm-hmm.
restriction and
mm-hmm. Being watched, being judged.
So I give up, and I'm at a point now to where I sort of sit when I, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, I can manage to sit 10 minutes today, and then it's just sort of, you know, a real sort of spotty practice then.
Right. Well, and of course, that's what happens with a lot of folks. So conditioning now takes over my practice and sets about a campaign to make it miserable. So I get beaten up if I don't sit, or I get beaten up for how I sit, or I get judged for not being aware enough or not paying attention enough. So the answer is just to stop my practice.
Right.
And, of course, you know, that's not the answer. The answer is to do practice and find that place of compassion and toss conditioning out of my life. That's the answer. But it takes people a while to get to that, because conditioning is pushing so hard for the belief that if you would just quit trying to discipline yourself in any way, which translates into disciplining ego or conditioning, if you would stop trying to do that, then your life would be easier and happier. And of course, it's not. It just changes from a focus on practice to whatever the next thing that it's going to control you about.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot to go up against.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, I bring up the dogs because it's never so clear as when, you know, because I'll wake up in the morning and one of our things are walks and trying to get them to you know, be controlled during the walks so that they don't rate, you know, they don't attack other dogs or, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll wake up and say, okay, today I'm gonna breathe and I'm going to be fine and I'm going to stay present. And I get down there and I get taken over by this other person again.
Yeah. Yeah, so that becomes a workshop, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
How do we find the person who rescued the dogs in the first place, who likes them and feels sympathy for them and an affinity for them and that sort of thing, and how do we leave this other person at home? Because otherwise, a very kind impulse, an act, such as taking in rescue dogs and giving them a home, gets turned into another source of punishment, perceived failure and punishment. So asking, you know, just keeping in that workshop, okay? Today we're going to... and do you take both of the dogs at the same time?
Yes.
Have you considered not doing that?
well, I hadn't.
Yeah. It just occurred to me, so I throw it out. It might be easier, you know, children, you know, a lot of parents with two children learn early on the beauty of separating them. So one is off doing this and the other, you know, I'm having quality time with this one and the other one is off doing whatever, is that school or whatever the other one is doing, because having quality time with two small children is not an easy thing to do. It often turns into the kind of chaotic scene that I'm envisioning with the dogs. So just something to think about, that one-on-one might be easier for you to stay present with yourself and with them.
Right. Well, I definitely will try that. I have a suspicion that I'm going to kind of run, maybe not into it, maybe it'll be more manageable, but that I'm going to kind of run into the same personality.
Well, so it's twofold, right? You're going to take the one dog, try that, just do that little experiment to humor me, and also make it the workshop. You know, you're talking with yourself all the way, you know, this is what we're going to do, and this is the kind of the attitude of mine I want to bring to it, and what I'm really doing this for is to see where I check out, you know, where I kind of go unconscious and this other person comes in, and then what happens with that, and do some process mapping with it. So I'm fine, then suddenly, you know, I'm screaming, I'm yelling, my body is going like this, my heart is, and the thoughts and the, you know, process map it so that you can close in on exactly how that is being done to you, because it is being done to you.
Yeah.
And then report back to us.
Okay.
All right. I'm eager to hear.
Okay.
Thanks, Drew.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Drew. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a break now, and we have more callers after the break. Coming up next on Open Air, in our second half of today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I think we're going to hit some kind of record today in terms of callers.
Isn't that good?
Stacking them up.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Beth from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening, Michael. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening.
Okay, this has been really a powerful discussion so far.
Good.
I'd like to look at getting out of the mind.
Look at what? The head. Say it again, please.
Getting out of the head.
Uh-huh.
I've become kind of aware of that. I think 99% of my life has been lived through my head.
Uh-huh. And we could say through conditioning.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, and it's just like a familiar place.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten into kind of this cycle in the last couple of weeks since, you know, with Christmas, the Sangha hasn't been meeting and and so forth, of getting into my head and trying to solve getting in my head.
Uh-huh.
And kind of like, oh, my God, there's a problem. I've got to do something about it.
Right. And, of course, that goes on inside the head.
And it's also kind of like my head is aware that I need to just come to center. So my head tries to come to center.
Yes. Well, and of course, you know, I would say tries not to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're meant to think that that's what's going on, that there's this great concerted effort to get you out of conditioning. And, of course, that great concerted effort is being made by conditioning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it's like all this panic is coming up and all this, you know, sense that I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Which is true.
It's true.
Yeah, it I can't true. Do it.
Yep.
Yeah. Because the I is that conditioning, right? And so the I, conditioning, can't do it, doesn't want to do it. So,
that's the big thing I've been running into.
Yeah, the Einstein quote, something about we can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it.
Huh.
Okay, yes. So if we're going to see a larger perspective, we have to step back from where we're currently standing. Because we're not going to see a larger perspective looking from where we're currently standing.
In the last 4 days, I've had this pretty horrendous cold.
Mm.
And I'm allowing myself to have the cold. You know, my body's trying to do something, and I'm trying to give it space. But along with that, a huge amount of stuff has been coming up.
You mean spiritual stuff, not not cold.
Right. Well,
yeah, it's usually both of them, isn't it?
I didn't catch that. Yes, but it's kind of like there's a part of me that feels like I'm wrong. I'm in a bad space for this stuff coming up. Like there's no compassion for this stuff coming up.
Right.
It's just a beating for myself for having it come up.
Yes, of course. Yeah,
and I really don't. I don't know what to do with it.
Well, you see
that's it right there.
that's the whole. You're looking right squarely at what karma is and what it does. So I'll be your conditioned mind, okay? You know what we need to do is take care of that business call. You need to make that call. I know you don't feel like making the call. I know, but you shouldn't have a cult.
If
you did the things, if you took care of yourself the way, you know, the fact that you have a cold is an indication that there's something wrong with you. I mean,
yes, I haven't been eating right. I haven't been exercising.
That's right. Yeah, and you haven't been meditating enough because
exactly.
if you had a better spiritual practice, this wouldn't be happening to you.
Exactly.
Okay. Now then, okay, I switch.
Or it wouldn't be a problem that I was having it.
That's right. So now I switch outfits and say, what is the matter with you? That's just conditioned mind. Why are you listening to that? You know that that's conditioned mind. You know that So we could do that. I could do 15 different conversations that probably do go on inside your head because, you know, we all share that same head. And so 15 different conversations about that, and they're all conditioning talking as if I'm not conditioning. I'm the real deal here. I'm talking to you about what you're doing wrong and about your relationship with conditioning that is the problem here.
Yes.
And
particularly when it uses spiritual language.
Yeah, never once has anybody but conditioning been talking. So the only way around this, out of this, through this, is to simply watch it. If you try to do anything, it's got you. So you just sit there and watch it. And it says, well, okay, watching it is fine. But, you know, watching it isn't solving your problems. What about blah, 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 blah? Now, it's designed to hook you. Oh,
yep.
That's right. Oh, my God, what am I going to... Okay, and you're off and running, and you're in relationship with it. But in meditation, what we're learning to do is simply stay still and watch it. And if you can do that, now, of course, it's going to say, ooh, you can't do that. Look at it. I mean, you try to do it, and you can't do it. That's what's the matter with you. You know, Sherry says that what you're supposed to do is just sit and watch it, but you can't sit and watch. Okay, and you just sit and watch that. So we start off small, you know. Maybe you can only watch it for 30 seconds, and then you're hooked. Okay, and then you practice up to where it's a minute, and then you're hooked. And the thing to know is this trying to step back from it, trying to disidentify from it, and being hooked by it is as old as humanity. It's not personal. It's not any failing on your part. It's just the way the whole thing is configured.
Yes, yes. I get hooked by that over and over again.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I'm the center of the universe.
Well, yeah. We think that we're going to be the exception to all of this, and we are not. And so, you know, it hooks you with this. Okay, all right, good, you got me. All right, but I'm here now. I'm paying attention. I'm just watching. And then you realize that you're off in a conversation or you're listening to it, you're believing it, you're feeling bad, you're feeling guilty. You know, it's got you hoping that an idea you're imagining and,
Oh, yes.
And we just practice breathing and watching.
Yeah, and right now breathing is really, mm-hmm. really important.
Yeah, and yeah. Well, when you have a cold, breathing takes on a whole new thing, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, yeah. And
it really does.
Know that it's got every tool at its disposal. It's really well schooled in all of this, and we're just kind of coming to the party. We're just catching on to it, and it's going to take a while to see through it all. It just probably is.
The one that's been catching me the most is that I'm all alone.
You're all alone?
I'm all alone.
Uh-huh. But I mean, I would wish that you were all alone. You're not. You're with conditioning, and it hates you.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, yes. You know, you're with Nurse Ratchet, for heaven's sake. So the other way not to feel alone is to be with conscious, compassionate awareness, to identify ourselves with that loving kindness that is our authentic nature, and let that take care of you through this. Let that kind, sympathetic presence be supportive of you as this goes on. And, of course, one of the ways that we do that is by inviting in a mentor, you know, somebody who loves you unconditionally, who cares, who feels sorry that you have a cold, who doesn't want to blame you, wants you to take care of yourself, encourages you, supports you, tells you what a great job you're doing. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, it's like when you're saying this, it's like remembering.
Yes.
I remember this.
Uh-huh.
I remember it, but it's, yes.
Remembering is the hardest part of it. That's why all those games that I'm always encouraging, and not just me, I mean, everybody who's in this line of work has their own little, favorite tools and tricks for remembering. How do you come back to conscious awareness? How do you remember who you really are? How do you wake up out of this nightmare of suffering and remember that, in fact, this is the Garden of Eden?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, if you can remember five times tomorrow, you can tie little strings around five of your fingers, and each time you undo one, you remember who you are and where you are, and you breathe, and you come back, and you remember kindness and love and compassion and open-heartedness, and, you know, and then the next day, maybe you tie things around six fingers, and you just keep building up. You know, every time I look at this, every time I think about that, every time I see that color, every time I'm going to breathe, I'm going to come back, I'm going to remember who I am. And then you'll forget, and you'll go unconscious, and conditioning will talk you out of all of that. But you'll remember again, and when you do, you'll say, oh, welcome back, welcome home, glad you're here. Let's see, I'm going to tie some fingers up here so that I can increase my chances of remembering who I am and what life is all about. And if you don't give up, your life will continue to transform. It just will. That's how it is. So one of our best year yet things for last year was one of our reminders was show up and trust the magic. You know, we don't have to do anything. If we can just remember to be here, here is where the magic happens. And this year, one of our reminders is remember for exactly the reasons that we've been talking about. You know, you don't, once you remember, it's not like you have to do anything. You just have to remember. Okay? So you might make a big sign and put it up in front of you since you're probably lying about a good deal of the time. You could just prop it up somewhere. It just says remember. Get yourself some crayons or some magic markers or whatever and decorate your remember sign. Give you something to do while you're recovering, and it'll help you remember.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take good care of yourself.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have two more callers and a few minutes left here.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Christina in Oakland. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, Sherry. I've got some real-life suffering right now.
You've got, say it again?
Got some real-life suffering right now.
Ah, what's going on?
I am the lucky person that made it happen for myself, and I'm going around the world.
Aha! Uh-huh.
I'm leaving in 3 weeks, and I'm suffering a lot right now because I think what's happening is I can't handle joy, like physically in my body. I don't seem to be able to be with it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So that's an intense little place to find oneself, isn't it?
Hmm.
So the voices say, if only this, if only that, if I could do this, if my life were that way,
right,
then I would be happy. And then, poof, you've got all of that, and you're really not happy.
Yeah. And it's amazing because up until it became an absolute reality, I mean, not absolute, but looks like I'm definitely headed that way, it was this huge, like, oh, if only I could go around the world. And now that it's coming true, I'm terrified and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, terrified.
Yeah, and then my intellect goes, oh, well, it's just ego afraid it's going to die, but that insight doesn't seem to help anything.
So are you saying that you're getting some of that? You're going to go on this trip and the boat is going to sink or the plane is going to crash? Or?
Yeah, some physically I get fear feeling, but mostly like, yeah, I'm leaving my business, something bad's going to happen, one of my pets is going to die while I'm gone.
And then I
can dismantle a lot of those, but the one that really gets me is that some way, somehow, me doing this for myself equals I'm hurting the world or I'm hurting someone else by doing it.
Hmm. And what do you think with that? It's just a vague sense of that being the case?
Well, the content that it fills itself with is I was just at the monastery, and we watched that great video of the work you guys are doing with the kids in Africa, and the thought is sort of like, well, geez, I spent so many thousands of dollars on this trip, and how much I could have helped someone else. And
oh, yes. Oh, I get it now.
Yeah. And
oh, you're selfish.
Right. Well, and I'm harmful. I hurt the world. That's the one that really scares me.
Mm-hmm.
I hurt the world.
Mm-hmm. You do hurt the world when you listen to conditioning,
mm-hmm.
when you live out of that karma instead of being present and receiving what life is offering to you. We do. You listen to conditioning, you believe it, your heart closes, you're suffering, you're miserable. You can step back and realize that how crazy it is because, you're suffering over a wonderful thing that you have been given, right?
Yeah, I everything you just said just now, there are about 5 moments that I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then immediately after I have that, it comes back with some sort of twisted logic.
Yeah, like, and it oh. will. Mm-hmm. And it will. That's just how it is. It's like having a crazy neighbor. Okay, you might believe that if you're a really nice person, your crazy neighbor won't be crazy. But it doesn't work that way. I think we could call that magical thinking. You know, that you're powerful enough that if you do something or don't do something, you're going to be able to control. And, I just have to tell you, it's not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel some relief, and then it still says, oh, well, you haven't told her yet that you're going by ship, and that means you're using gasoline.
Aha, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So my point, of course, is, as long as you're willing to engage in this relationship,
right,
this is what you're going to get.
Right.
And it really does, at some point, just come down to, no,
right,
I'm not having this conversation anymore.
Right.
I'm not having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So that conversation becomes a signal to come back to the breath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, Here's one that you can try. Every time conditioning starts with that story, you go sit on your cushion.
Okay.
Every time. It doesn't matter where you are. You know, if it's a work thing, you just take your cushion to work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And every time it starts, you meditate. You go sit on your cushion and actually meditate.
Mm-hmm.
Every time it starts.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Good. When do you leave?
In 3 weeks.
3 weeks, and how long are you going to be gone?
4 months.
4 months. Well.
Yeah, I wanted to share this with you. I'm engaged to be married to myself, and it's my honeymoon to myself.
Oh, very nice. And conditioning is going to try to ruin it.
I know it's trying really hard.
Yeah, it's trying really
hard. It's more subtle, too, yeah.
Yeah, trying really, really hard. So let us know how this program of every time it starts in with this rant, you go meditate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when you're meditating, you know, use one of those techniques. As I breathe in, I come back to center. As I breathe out, I come back to center. Because this is a fight fire with fire situation. You know, once this is behind you, then you can get back to counting the breath. But right now, you got to bring something more to it. And you could even say it out loud. I mean, you don't have to yell it or anything, but just, you know, just quietly to yourself. As I breathe in, I come to center. As I breathe out, my heart opens. Whatever it is that works for you. Every time it starts in.
Okay.
Let us know.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Christina. Sherry, we have a couple minutes left, and we have one more caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Roger from Vermont. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi. Hello. Roger.
Hi. I'm so happy to be talking to you. I just want to thank you so much for your There's Nothing Wrong With Your retreat.
Oh!
Which I did in Rehoboth Beach.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it was. I especially want to thank you for your the way you created the environment for spiritual growth, the privileged environment.
It's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean,
yeah.
I've done a lot of meditation retreats, and this was the first one I've ever done where I really felt completely safe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was just an amazing experience for me. And I really was just riding a tremendous wave of energy and enthusiasm when I left.
Great.
Yeah.
And then it faded.
Yes.
As it does.
And I noticed something tonight. I've been putting myself on a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been having a lot of trouble with that. And, you know, a lot of argument about that.
What kind of schedule, Roger?
Well, I created a schedule for my day where I get up at a certain time, then I do some journaling, then I, you know, it's typed up, it's on my wall.
Uh-huh.
But I think when I wanted to create the schedule because I was having a lot of trouble, I had a lot of trouble with anxiety attacks.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like trying to keep up with them by thinking about how to do it every day was really creating a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
So I followed your advice about, you know, that the schedule could, I thought on the retreat I didn't have any anxiety attacks. And, you know, maybe the schedule would be more like that environment.
Uh-huh. Now, did you plan in there things that really take care of you in a fun, play, enjoy, relax kind of way?
Well, that's kind of the problem. I feel like kind of self-hate kind of took over when I built the schedule.
Yeah.
And made it really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. You forgot the kindness part.
Yeah. So I'm really, but I want to build some of that in. And one of the things I noticed tonight was one of the things I did for myself on the schedule is I go to this yoga class. And I had a really wonderful experience in yoga of coming back to my breath after having a very, very, a day really, really filled with a lot of self-hate. And I noticed that with that came this tremendous enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like...
Yeah.
But then I noticed there was just a moment there where I wanted to just throw that away. And call my girlfriend, forget about the schedule, say, it's all better now, I feel better, everything's good.
I can go unconscious.
Exactly. And I was just like, I stopped myself, and I said, no, on the schedule says I have to sit down and journal and then meditate. So I did that, and I when I sat down, I realized that I wasn't relaxed at all. I was in a, you know, my heart was pounding. It was like something was wrong.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, I feel like there's just this way that it just takes over whatever good happens.
Yes. And, you know, to me, what you're describing is awareness practice. You know, the temptation is to want to figure out something so that we can just get it right and have the life we want.
Right.
But it doesn't work that way. So
right.
What it comes down to is you needing to be there in that unconditionally accepting, expansive way for you every moment of the rest for the rest of your life.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, boy, that was a subtle little message for us to wrap it up, wasn't it? Next, there'll be a drum roll and cymbals. Yeah. So, you know, we'll talk about this again, I hope. But that's one of the big weapons that conditioning uses against us, is what your experience you're having is the wrong experience to be having.
That's right, and that is the message.
That's right, and
I didn't catch that. Yeah.
And the thing about it is, every moment is a moment to embrace you in compassion. Doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, what's going on. So every moment that you remember that, and you extend that kind of compassion to this guy, that's kind of a plus moment, and I can promise you, you're going to have to keep doing that for him forever.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, no coasting, no days off, no vacation. And as you know, being present in that way is the most joyful way we can live.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so those voices that are trying to talk you into standards and comparison and judgment, they're not there to give you the life you want. They're there to take your life away from you.
Yeah, they've been doing that, too.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Roger, and thank you for joining us, Sherry.
Well, thank you, Michael.
I had a lot of fun.
Me, too. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
All right. Good night.
Good night.